Good morning.
Good morning.
Or good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
It's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
Welcome to the What's the Temp podcast. My name is Bettina, and I am coming in hot.
I love how quickly you just transitioned into smooth and sexy. I want to acquire that skill for myself. My name is Jen, and I do want to check in just because I don't want to check out.
Okay, so today's episode is titled The Mirror Work. And this one for me is a little bit exciting because I understand that as women, we are not always kind to ourselves. So this one excites me. As women, we're so down on ourselves about how we look. Not many of us have body positivity, and even the ones that do understand it to be fleeting. I want to tackle body dysmorphia in this episode because I personally need to learn to be kind to myself. As I'm aging, my look is changing, but instead of being disgusted by it, I want to get to the point that I can honor it. As long as I'm doing the work to look my best, taking care of myself with skincare, I'm learning to layer my scents, which is a whole thing, honey, because hormones change your body odor, and that's never been an issue my whole life, but honey. Mm-hmm. Workouts, I'm moisturizing differently because I'm in the Midwest. Just overall self-care. If I can do all of this stuff, I can better accept these changes with grace. I don't want to keep referencing myself with words that, while funny, they have negative connotative meanings. I just want to change the conversation that I'm having with myself in the mirror. So I'm excited about this conversation.
I am so happy to hear every single word that's coming out of your mouth because I didn't know what the topic was today because, as you know, I just came out of a work meeting and then jumped in here completely blind. And I am absolutely thrilled to discuss this because this is very on topic for this season of my life, too. So let's do it.
Okay. So today's temp check is basically self-love versus self-criticism temp. And so my question to you is, what's your temp for how comfortable you are in celebrating your body exactly how it is right now?
What a beautiful temp check. There's nothing I'd rather be doing right now than talking about this with you. This is such a welcome change from the world I was just in, the world of work. Okay. 75 outdoor.
Okay. I love that.
This is really current for me. So yesterday I went to a Zumba class with Sarah. Sarah's my neighbor slash life partner, for anyone who doesn't know. And we were talking in the car about how I have been having this experience recently where I am looking in the mirror. So the moment that I had was that we were dancing. I was dancing. My children were in the bath. This is two nights ago. I was dancing. We were listening to the soundtrack of Encanto, which is my absolute favorite Disney movie. Not new. 3 years ago, whatever. Hot take. And I was dancing, and I was just looking down, and I was thinking, wow, I look amazing.
Oh.
And I feel amazing. And also, as you know, I can dance. So it's like I was watching my hips move and I was like, you are so – and it wasn't like I'm so sexy, although, yes, I did feel very sexy because Encanto makes me feel sexy for whatever
That's
reason.
So
but
good.
Just that Latina vibe, Latino vibe gets me going. So I was thinking – I feel so good. I feel so good from the inside out. I feel healthy. I feel like I'm a mom. I feel like I'm embracing of this new body that I have because I am a woman of a certain age as well. And then as soon as I had that thought, you know how you in that episode, Finding Home, you're like, you better go, girl. Like, that's how I felt. But there was a fullness to it. I was like, yes, my hips are full and I've got the moves. It was a both and.
Yes. Come on, both and.
Yes. And then right away, there was this other voice that came in and said, but you can't feel that way because you are three pant sizes larger than you were just a couple years ago. Isn't that rude?
But that's the negative self-talk.
And I was like, who is this? Who are you, voice?
Yes.
That's not me. So this other voice that I did not give permission for came in and made this nasty comment to me that was not at all true, to me not true. And I know that that voice has been really socialized, like, into me. Like, that, those kinds of messages of you can't feel good about yourself just because you went up 3 pant sizes in the past couple of years. I was like, excuse me. First of all, I've had 2 children. Second of all, I feel like I look amazing. So I've been experiencing that little bit of cognitive dissonance recently where there's a very slight amount of discomfort. So you notice I didn't say 83, my perfect temp, because there's a really small amount of discomfort only just because this voice keeps nagging at me. So every time I look in the mirror, I'm like, you look amazing. Yes, I have some wrinkles on my face. Yes, my hips are fuller. Yes, my legs are slightly larger. My arms are larger. That I'm actually really not loving, because the women in my family have big arms and I can see where this is going. I'm not loving that. That's going to be a little harder. But to stay on track, it is a cognitive dissonance, because I will look out and I see that the images that I'm being fed. For example, I was looking at this one particular newswoman the other day who's my age, and I know she's my age, and she's kind of living a parallel life to me, because I think she went to Barnard or Columbia or something, and she dated my hall pass, who is Kate McKinnon, just so everybody knows.
You're
she's my
so
hall pass.
Funny.
Obsessed with her. So
you're obsessed with everybody.
Yes, I'm embracing who I am. So I was looking at her forehead and I was like, really? Like, her forehead looks like a newborn baby. And
you
then
are so
my forehead,
funny.
Yeah, I was like, this is what we're doing. Like, you've had Botox injections. That's what's going on there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever. So the cognitive dissonance is that there is my voice, my true voice, true to myself, which is saying, you better go, girl, and you look amazing, and you feel amazing. And then there's the voice that's saying, you are not allowed to feel amazing unless you go back down to a size blank.
Yeah.
And I know that that voice is not true, but there's this little bit of push-pull, and it's that mismatch again between what I know is true to me and then the values of the society that I inhabit. And something that I really love that you said earlier is that you said you don't want to keep looking at or using these negative words to describe you, but it kind of made me think of, I don't want to keep comparing myself to some past version of myself.
Yes.
Because it's very likely I might even go up another pant size. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I'm not willing to trade that in, because the thing that you said that really resonated with me is when you said you're doing the work.
Yes.
You're doing all the things that you need to do to take care of yourself. The reason why I feel so good is because my actions are so good.
Yes.
I take dance classes. I go for walks. I eat healthy. I don't deprive myself of eating anything. But the whole thing is, I'm not going to go back down to that size because I'm not willing to stop eating. And this is what I was talking with Sarah about, is it's like, for the past few weeks, we've actually been taking so many more exercise classes than normal. Like, we're taking kettlebell at 5:30 a.m. We're taking, you know, strictly strength or whatever it is at 5:30 a.m. And I'm doing that in addition to my dance classes.
Mm-hmm.
And there is basically no change to my body.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I love to eat.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not – and we were just talking about, we're like, well, I guess we're never going to change because we're not willing to give up food and pasta and this and then the other thing. So – the place that I am is, I'm feeling like if I stay true to myself and if I adhere to my intuitive feeling that I want to be the only judge of what looks good for me, then I'm about to break out of this prison that everybody is in, which is the prison of other people's judgments of you. I'm not interested in those judgments. I'm not interested in those standards. And I think that I can become, if I just lean into this feeling, I think I can become Amy Schumer.
Okay.
You know how she just gives zero F's?
Yeah, she gives
zero.
None. She has none.
So someone can come in and be like, you look like a Cabbage Patch Kid. And she's like, and?
mine would be your mama. With a smile. Your mama.
Who's that?
Your mama looks like a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Oh.
With a smile.
Well, you already are there. So teach us your ways. Let me turn it back around on you. That's what I want to say. I feel like I'm about to tip over into a place of complete freedom, because as soon as I'm not caged by society's expectations of me, then I'm really flying free.
So what I love about what I'm hearing you say is that you had that experience where the negative voice tried to creep in, yet your temperature today was still a 75. I think that is such
a
win.
No,
what used to happen for many of us was the negative voice would come in and it would take us down. It would cause you not to enjoy the dance so much because you got a glimpse of yourself. I was watching something recently where an older actress was saying, I walked by a mirror and did not recognize the reflection that I saw. Because it's true, we're getting older, but inside we still feel 25, 30, you know, but the outside doesn't reflect what I used to look like when I was that age. And so now what that's making me do as a mature woman is I have this thing. I think I'm funny, right? And I feel like I'm a truth teller. So what would happen?
You are both of those things. I will validate that.
You know, my hair is like an orangey red when I'm coloring it. So when I do my twist outs, usually my hair is like in braids or in a big bun on top of my head, whatever. But when my hair is just out and I just put a bonnet on and then I get up in the morning and I take the bonnet off, I have taken the bonnet off, stood in the mirror and looked at myself and said, good morning, Sideshow Bob, right? Because my hair looks like Sideshow freaking Bob. While that's funny, that still has such a negative connotation.
Derogatory.
You know, and so what I want to do is be able to look at myself, and while my mane might be hard to tame at sometimes, I am so grateful that I don't have thinning, which is what a lot of women are experiencing at my age, that I don't have issues growing my hair, that I don't have issues with just a lot of things that people are dryness and all kinds of scalp issues. And just instead of just saying the Sideshow Bob comment, why can't I come up and say, God, I thank you for this great mane of hair that I'm about to grow down to my waist, which is in the middle of my back right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that I'm about to grow down to my waist just because I get to, because I want to. So the thing now is really being able to look at myself, and instead of coming up with some kind of offhand or backhanded compliment, just say thank you. Because what I am appreciative of is that at 53, I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have diabetes. I don't have any health issues. I can walk to the gym. I can walk 3 miles a day. I can go
inside the gym.
You're energetic. I can lift. I can do all the things that I want to do. I can cook. I have great night's sleep. You know, I can do what this body needs to do for me. And so when I say what's my temp for how comfortable I am with celebrating my body exactly as it is, I would say that I'm about a 250 from my regular 350 oven temp. And it's I am positioning myself to celebrate, because as I tell you the story of the arc for me, I've been very confident throughout my life, but that confidence is also met with not so nice comments.
You've
internalized
some of the value judgments of society.
Yeah. And so with that, I have to get to the point where, like you, what I feel about my body is coming from me and not coming from what other people think I should be or feel like I should look, or, you know what I mean? How I should feel about my size or whatever it is. I want to celebrate, honey, because this body is walking me through this amazing life, and it has borne 3 amazing children for me, and it has done a lot of things. It has traveled me the world. Like, it has allowed me to do what I do. I don't have a lot of issues. I love being able to go to the doctor, and when it asks, is this your family history? Do you have all this? I can check no to all these things because I don't have anything. And whatever is in my family, it's not affecting me. Thank God. So I want to prepare and learn and begin to be intentional about celebrating my body and not just looking at it through a negative light or filter.
That makes me feel warm in my heart. Mm.
So let's get into this backstory then, which is learning to look at yourself with gratitude instead of a to-do list. And this is going to be a whole lesson for your girl. Because, you know, I live for to-do lists, and there's one for my body too, honey. It is not exempt. So first, I want you to think about times when you've caught yourself being crueler to yourself than you'd ever be to a friend. And then just how today you're learning to look at yourself with gratitude instead of a to-do list.
Okay, so I've never looked at my body as a to-do list because I've always been completely powerless over the shape and weight of my body. Mm. I've never, ever been able to lose weight intentionally.
Okay.
Successfully, ever. So going back, the first member of the – we did a – when we did that episode, Body Stories, I sort of detailed this, how I've never been on a diet and I never notice when I gain or lose weight. I don't own a scale. So the only way I would ever know if I gained weight is if I tried to wear jeans. But I haven't been wearing jeans for years, which is why I've managed to go up 3 sizes without realizing it. So because now it's just leggings. My uniform is black leggings. Mm-hmm. So how would I ever notice? But so the first time I got kind of fat was when I lived, like, for me, fat. Even then, I'm saying, like, why am I saying that word fat? That's exactly what you're talking about with these negative words. Yes. Where is this coming from? So the first time I gained a significant amount of weight, and I'm just going to say significant is, like, whatever, 15 pounds. It was just enough to go up that pant size. And it was when I was living in Hell's Kitchen, best times of my life when I lived there. And I joined the gym at Worldwide Plaza. I was like, ooh, you've been eating Chinese food every single day and drinking every single day, and maybe you should try to join a gym. And I did, and I went there, and I remember going there so religiously, but I never lost any weight because working out makes me so hungry.
Oh, yeah,
it does. It's like my body's just smarter than me. So it's like, yeah, you can go to the gym and do 1 hour of the elliptical and then burn – what do you burn when you do that? Like 500 calories, and then you can come home and eat like – one plate of pasta, and that's three times the amount of that calories. So it doesn't work. Like, I've never figured out the equation, and I'm certainly not going to curb my eating since my whole life revolves around food. So there was just an imbalance in the sense that I was eating too many unhealthy things, but going to the gym did not help me lose any weight at all. And then the second time I got really fat was when I lived at Uncle Bob's house in California, and I didn't even really bother to do anything about it. It just resolved itself when I moved out of Uncle Bob's house and into the city of LA, and then I wasn't eating gravy and other things like that every single day, so the weight just came off. And then the third time was when I lived in Philadelphia, and that's when I hit a number on the scale that I was like, whoa. And that also resolved itself when I stopped drinking 16 beers a day.
So, yours come with lifestyle changes.
Yeah. I mean, don't they always?
They isn't do.
The way you eat always a lifestyle change?
Absolutely.
But the point is that I've never looked at, I've felt uncomfortable weight-wise, but I've never felt like I have any agency over changing my body. And most of that has to do with the fact that I'm not willing or able to change the way I eat. And I think diet is like pretty much the entire thing. So because I take so much enjoyment out of food. And I also just want to put it out there that I'm not an emotional eater, so I don't have a problem where I eat necessarily more. Like, I don't eat more than I need most of the time. So I just – it just goes up and down. My weight just goes up and down constantly, and I don't track it. But this most recent time – I guess just my age is putting weight onto me. So I was really in denial of that until I was at this thrift store because Joyce told me I need to start wearing jeans. She's like, you can't just wear black leggings every single day, she told me. So I was like, well, I've been wearing them every day for 5 years, but I'll take your feedback into consideration. And I did, and I bought some jeans at a thrift store, and I kept having to go back to the rack and go the next size up, next size up, next size up.
Wow. So that's how you found out you were three sizes.
That's how I found out. And then I was like, what's going on here? What is going on here? And then I found out it's because I actually am that size. I don't know why it took me so long. It was like a while that I was like what size am I? And then I finally found the one that I am. And that's fine. You know, I don't care about what size I am. I really genuinely don't. Also, whatever. I guess I was the last to know. I guess I was the last to know. But
you're so funny.
I don't look at my body. I mean, there are things about my body I don't like. I don't love that my arms are huge. I have like no boobs whatsoever. I don't love that. But there's never been a point at which I'm like, and now I will go and implant silicone sacs into my chest. Like,
yeah.
More power to you. A bunch of my friends have breast implants and
all of mine.
They look varying degrees of good. Mm-hmm. But I just can't see that. I can't see doing that. I just don't care enough.
Not
you know?
For me.
So, and same thing with the Botox. It's like, I would love to smooth out this line between my eyes. I feel like I look angry a lot of the time, especially in the fall. There's something about that fall lighting that makes me look even angrier with the shadows. But I just haven't found the will to go and change it. I just don't care what I look like that much. So for me, going back to what you said originally, which just really struck me, especially today, is listen, I go for walks. I eat healthy. I feel like I'm eating what my body wants. If my body wants pasta, that's what it can have. If it wants salad, it can have that. I'm just doing what my body says.
What I love about your life is that you have balance. You love to eat, but you're also very active. Like, you're always going to be going to the gym. You're always going to walk around the lake. Like, you're always going to take classes. So I feel like there's that balance that supports how you should feel about your body, because it's not like you're just sitting up eating pasta, eating junk food and not doing anything about it. Like, there's balance there. So why can't you enjoy? So what? You're in a different space. You were a different size before you created two babies in your body.
Yeah. The thing is that I move like that, meaning I physically move because I like to. So it's like I went to the city on Friday with my friend and we walked all around downtown Manhattan. We did 20,000 steps in just a matter of hours. And I was flying high. I was like, I feel fantastic.
Yes.
I love to get those steps in. I love to feel like my metabolism is high. I feel unbelievably energetic. Like,
yes.
I feel so good. Why shouldn't that extend to the way I feel is how I look to me? End of story.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. What about you?
I have caught myself being crueler. And it wasn't that I caught myself being crueler to myself than I'd ever be to a friend, but I could be talking to someone. And like I said, I'll say those backhanded comments about myself or negative comments about myself. Like, girl, you know, big girl coming in the house, you know, but I'm just making a joke or something, but it's derogatory nonetheless. And so as I'm here, just learning to look at myself with gratitude instead of a to-do list, it starts for me with getting to the root of the problem. Like, where did it come from? Like, you mentioned not being an emotional eater, and I am. You know, so when life is happening, I could be on
going heavy on the Milanos.
And weeks, I start going heavy actually on comfort foods.
Mm-hmm.
I can have this vision of what it would look like to have a more positive body image because I remember what it was like to, have you ever looked at a picture of yourself and like a back in the day picture, right? And thought, man, I actually looked good in this picture, right? And wish you could have appreciated yourself in that moment. Has that ever happened to you? Like where you looked back and was like, I thought I was fat, man, and I looked good, you know?
No, when I thought I looked fat, I was actually fat.
Okay, so I might have been thick, but not fat, right? And so I'm not sure where that filter or what is the filter that kept me from looking at myself lovingly or looking at myself in whatever state I'm in and having an appreciation for it, but I think it was a dysmorphia. And it's because when you're having other people that you respect or that you care for saying how unpretty you are or how unshapely you are or how not perfect you are, then it doesn't allow you to appreciate the things that are perfect about exactly where you are. So I wish we knew where to learn to be kind to ourselves, like who was teaching that. And what I've noticed is when I look at myself now, I do see the to-do list. I do see, oh, I got to do these chin exercises to make sure that my jawline is more prominent.
Chin exercises?
Yes, girl.
What?
putting like oil or Vaseline on my knuckles and rolling my fist all the way back to my jawline to kind of get back to where I have a jawline, because now I have to use contour to get it. But even looking at now, I'm 53, so I should have a wrinkle or two around my eyes. But when I see the little wrinkle coming up, I'm like,
don't though.
I know, but I do. I do. But when I see it, the first thing you want to do is get rid of it. Or when you just look at different parts of your body and say that needs fixing. But look, when I look back on photos from 5, 10 years ago and remember, I just don't like that feeling, that memory of feeling inadequate back then. Because now I can look at it, look at that same photo and see someone that was actually beautiful, someone that I wish that I'd been kinder to. Right? So how can I avoid doing that today to myself? And I'm looking at, what if the problem isn't actually my body now? What if the problem is that I never learned to look at myself with gratitude instead of criticism? What if instead of cataloging everything that needs improvement, I could look at my reflection and just have some appreciation for it. Thank you for working. Thank you that I don't have any disease. Thank you for my blood pumping the way it should. Thank you for my cells operating the way they should. Thank you for being strong enough to do the work. Thank you for showing up. And so in order for me to get from the place of non-appreciation to the place of appreciation, I think I have to go back to the beginning. And so this week, as I was reading, remember I was telling you that I'm reading that book by T.D. Jakes, Crushing, and I bought the study guide. Mm-hmm. I had read the book, and then I wanted to read it again with the study guide. So there was this exercise that talks about running themes in your life, right? And how they want you to describe that running theme as a movie or a Broadway musical. Like, what would the title be and how would you describe it? And this is what I wrote, and I wanted to share this with you. Mine would be a Broadway musical, and it would be called Mulberry Bush Seasons, right? Because, you know, I hate going around the Mulberry Bush. But
Mulberry Bush Seasons?
Yes.
Okay. That's your Broadway play title?
That's the title of the play. So I wrote, because I just realized that the vice or vices that I started using in my youth, which were sex, gluttony, and stalling because of depression, right? These are all things that cannot go with me into my next season. Sex felt good when my soul was aching. Food felt good when I was sad. Wasting time felt good when I was so tired of taking care of everyone else. This stuff became a part of my skin. Because I was more productive than a lot of people around me, I settled for not being my absolute best. Eating bad curbed my energy, causing lazy bouts and weight gain. And because I wasn't my best, then the men I chose weren't really top tier either. And so when I look at this from here, and as we're talking about body, I think about food and even sex. Like, I'm just in this place where I need to heal from coming out of my marriage. It's not about trying to satisfy something, because I'm trying to fill a void that only God can fill anyway, right? And then when you look at the eating, because it felt good, because so much of me was in pain. Now it's
self-soothing.
I'd rather address the actual pain and not need to self-soothe. Like, I can eat because I need to eat. And so a lot of times when I'm fasting, or when you hear me say that I'm consecrating, it's because what I want to do is gain control over when I decide to eat. I'm not going to eat because my body is telling me I need to, not in the healthy way, but in the way that's emotional, and because we're going through these things as a family, and let me just eat to feel better, you know? Mm. So now it's, I tell you when you eat, and you eat because we've worked out and because this is what you need for sustenance, but not for emotional soothing.
Hmm.
And so as I'm really making the choice to solve the problem, it makes it easier for me to look at myself kindly. When I look at that as, okay, this is where that came from, I can love on little Tina for a moment and say, you know what, that was then and this is now, and you don't need this vice. It can no longer, like, I'm putting a line in the sand, like, here and no further. I'm not going to eat my emotions. And here is why, because I want to really be whole. And because I'm whole, I can look at myself in a more favorable light when I see my reflection in the mirror. And knowing that I look good and I'm moisturized, honey, I smell like moisturized sunshine right now. I'll tell you in a moment, but I look good. I smell good. I feel good because I'm actually moving my body. Like, when you're doing all the things, now that confidence doesn't come from a superficial place. It's a more rooted feeling. And because it's rooted, it's not as fleeting as it was before.
Yeah.
So it's a different conversation I'm having with myself today because of the work I'm doing behind the scenes.
I love that you're saying that because I used to watch the way that certain actresses age and women age and how they, the people that were so incredibly beautiful, like the people that are in a class I could just, that I would never even want to compete with or compare myself to, when they lose their beauty, when their beauty starts to decay with age, they would really suffer.
Yeah.
Because the way that, with people who are extremely empirically attractive, the way that the world treats them is different. They get afforded a lot of opportunities. It's actually a form of privilege, I think. And I saw that. And even though I'm not in that category at all, I always thought, let me not tie my idea of my own beauty to something that's external.
Right.
Because everybody's going to age. Nobody gets out of here alive, you know? So I love that you're saying that you want to have a sense of wholeness that's not necessarily on a fixed idea of beauty for yourself. You want to go into it from a place of wholeness and health and love yourself first. And then I think that the body will follow.
I agree.
I think that that shame spiral is what drives most people's destructive eating. It's like, oh, I feel bad. Let me put something on top of that, a bowl of this comfort food to make me feel better. Now I feel ashamed because I broke my diet. Now I feel bad again. Now I need more food. It's like, that's the cycle.
Yeah. And it's getting yourself to, like you said, that place of balance where you can have something that is comfortable, like you can have comfort food, but you still have to move around. You still have to set targets for yourself to hit every week or every couple of days, you know, so that you can enjoy certain things.
But I don't operate like that. And maybe it's just my laissez-faire attitude with everything. I'm just not that organized. I just go. It's so, what's also striking me is it's so interesting how we have the reverse orientation of body to mind. So you're saying my body's saying I want this thing, but my mind is saying, no, you will eat when I tell you to eat. But my orientation of it is the opposite, where I always think of my body as being the most wise one. So in your one of the tripartite beings?
Yes.
The body's the lowest, right?
It is. My spirit man is more valuable.
Yes. And in mine, the body, I don't know if there's a hierarchy, but the body I always think is the wisest because the body, I'm in my mind and I'm an overthinker and I think I'm too much in my mind. So if I was eating from the place of my mind, meaning from the place of my emotions, that would not be healthy for me. But when my body is saying, my body's like, I want something fresh, or I want something, if my body says I want cheese, I always obey whatever it is that my body is saying, because I think my body must know that there's some type of nutrient imbalance. And so it's telling me I need to eat this thing. If it was my mind at work, it would be a disaster.
I think that could be fair because you have the relationship that you forged with your body over the years.
Yeah, I trust my body more than I trust my mind. But also there's a lack of the emotional eating here. So the mind's not saying, hey, go eat this whole bag of chips, you know?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So my mind, because I would be wrapped in my emotions and I would feel incapable of taking care of whatever the thing was, then I don't want to keep feeling what this negative thing makes me feel. And so let me zone out with eating. Let me zone out with something that makes me feel good for the moment. Mm-hmm. And so I am.
And then your
now,
body does feel satiated, and then your mind feels satiated.
Yeah, but it was my mind, will, and emotions. It was that part of me that was in control. So there had been no area where the body can say, like, I believe that there are some nutrient deficiencies and things like that, and your body will let you know some things. But what happens is after a while of bad eating or heavy eating and things like that, your body loses all sense of what you need anyway. Let me just give you what you want so you can shut up, you know, that kind of thing. So I think it's an interesting conversation, but as we grow, and I'm saying grow, like spiritually grow, you learn to look at yourself through a different prism. That's what I'm doing. I'm just learning to look at myself and say, like, literally when I wrote that Mulberry Bush Seasons, it was the first time that I realized that these vices had been with me for so long. And so now, as a mature woman, I can say, yeah, this can't go with me into this next season. Mm-hmm. I'm done with that. And really mean it, like really mean it. So I feel like the weight for the first time ever is going to come off easier because I'm drawing the line in the sand spiritually.
Yeah, I really like that. And I want to do the same thing. I have the same goal with the cultural values that I feel are being imposed upon me. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, I like the way I look.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that I have a larger pant size, three sizes larger pant size. I like it.
And I get to feel good in my skin.
I just wish I didn't feel like I was asking permission from society to feel great because I just objectively feel great.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this one woman who I heard one time where she said, when someone questions you about something you're doing, you can just say, I like it. You don't have to explain it at all.
Yeah.
So they were saying, you know, well, why do you go to this store over here? Why do you always go to this store instead of this store? And she has no particular affiliation to the store, but she would just say, I like it. So she just doesn't defend. She just says, I like it. And that's how I don't know why, but this just stuck with me.
And mind your business.
I don't have to build up a case on why I'm doing this thing. I can just say, I like it.
Period. End of story.
I'm in charge. So when it comes to the way I look, I like it. I've always liked the way I looked, honestly. I've never really had that much of a problem. I am not the hottest person in the world, but you know what I like? Self-awareness. So I like when someone, a comedian comes on and they're like, hey, I look like Buddy Holly. And then it's like, they do look like Buddy Holly. Isn't that hilarious? That's what I like. I'm a moderately attractive person and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Know your lane. Know your lane.
I don't have to compete with perfection ever.
Know your lane.
And I like it.
Okay.
Bagging and bagging and bag again. Whoa, whoa, yeah, yeah. Hey, 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 hey. Bagging and, yeah. Tell them to watch it. Now I ain't talking my pockets. Just know we ain't running out the way that we stock it. If I got it, you got it. If I call it, she slide and tell it I'm
mine. Okay, so this is the perfect segue into the life focus, which is understanding that self-love isn't conditional on perfection. Recognizing your body as a home, not a project, that's such a lesson for Bettina, and celebrating what your body has carried you through. Like, you're already talking about it. Like, I love it. It's not perfect, but it's mine, and I like it.
It's not who I am. It's just where I live.
It's where I live.
And I'm at home here. I'm at home here.
Yeah. Yeah. And my house works. Like, my roof works. You know what I mean? My gutters work. Like, all the stuff works. I think that's my favorite thing about my body right now. Just knowing that I could be in a home where everything was broken down. And by the grace of God, that is not my story. So grateful for that.
Yeah.
So grateful for that. And one of my latest realizations has been that once I leave this body, then my ability to influence things in this realm is over. So I have like an urgency to just make sure that whatever I'm doing, I do it well, because that time is going to be wrapping up for me. I have more days behind me than I have in front of me. That's just the bottom line. And so when you're honest with yourself about that, you realize that this body is your ticket to be in the earth, to be on this earth. So that's why I'm having certain conversations with people that I love. This week was my brother's, he's my youngest brother now because my baby brother passed away, but he was my middle brother. His birthday was this week. And I called him to say happy birthday. And you know, I'm going to sing my happy birthday to you. So I'm do all that. I'm going to do all the fanfare, right? But before the end of the call, we were only on the call for probably 4 or 5 minutes, but before the end of the call, we both teared up because I just wanted to express how grateful I am for what he's done for this family and how he shows up. I call him my big little brother because he acts like he's all of our daddy. You know? And he's always been that way. Even back when I was a teenager and starting to date, he would come out in his boxers and talk to the guys like, what's your plans with my sister? And I'm like, can you go put on some pants, bro? Right?
That's cute.
So this was my life. But before the end of the conversation, I was tearing up and he was like, oh, I love you too. You know, it was a total emotional call. But if I'm here, it's because I have work to do and I'm going to spend my time doing that work. And that to me is more purposeful than wasting time worried about perfecting just superficial things.
Yeah. I love that you're saying that because that's just what I was talking about with Sarah yesterday is this attention economy that we're in, where everything's competing for your attention, has been really making me feel like my attention is my most valuable resource. Just like how you say your time is your most valuable resource, very similarly, I think that my attention is my most precious resource. So why do I want to devote even 1 second of my attention to customizing my forehead to look a certain way?
Man.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. That's my decision, is not to do that. My arms are quite thick. I have a genetically thick arm. Do I love that? No. But what if I just went and helped someone? How about that?
Come on.
It's like so ridiculous. Like, I know. I feel like you should be saying preach. Like, I'm getting up on my soapbox right now. We could be interacting with other people. We could be connecting with other people. We could be helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
We are so fortunate. My arms are functional. How about that? I'm able-bodied.
Yes, they work. You
know? Where's our gratitude?
The story, they work. Thank God
that they
work.
I have a little bit of extra insulation right now. But guess what? I'm warm. Mm-hmm. And when I look out at the world, the people, when I say Amy Schumer, I know she's not, everybody's not a fan of her. But what I love about her is she's liberated herself from the value judgments of what she looks like. She does whatever she wants. She doesn't ask for permission from anyone. And that is something that I admire about her. Mm-hmm. She moves free. That's what I've never had. I've been in this perfection prison, even though the way that my perfection manifests is not necessarily related to my physical appearance. I still feel like I'm in this perfection prison, which is keeping me chained, which is keeping me afraid to just do what I want. But then when I look around at other women, the ones I like are just give zero F's about anything.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. I want to just be liberated.
It's really about being comfortable in your skin. And like you said, like you were saying earlier, if you're doing what you're supposed to do with your life, guess what you don't have time to do? Sit up and be worried about, oh, this isn't perfect. Oh, that isn't perfect.
Think about the most superficial aspect of myself, the way I look. Yeah.
So it's just bigger than that. It's bigger than that. It's more important than that. Like, you're here for something that's way bigger than that. And so I don't know. I'm just not going to stress myself out on these things. I am not in the streets like I was before, but one thing I feel confident about, every time I step out, I'm going to put myself together. That's what I'm going to. That's
who I am. And I need to come
closer
to you with that, because I need to stop wearing black leggings every single day with a big crew neck sweatshirt, my uniform.
Yeah.
People are like, maybe you should come a little closer to Bettina because you look like a slob. How about that?
No, I'm going to put myself together. And what I struggle with living in the Midwest is there is almost zero excuses to wear heels. Like, I want to be able to put some shoes on. This is weird to me. Everywhere you go is flats. What?
You don't need a reason to wear heels, though.
Yes,
you could just bust them out.
Girl,
no.
So
you can just lead the way.
I went to, I guess, a DJ session this weekend, like Saturday night. The local DJ, he gets one night a week at this location, I guess. And I guess he brought in other local DJs and they were just playing music. But I'm sitting up here thinking to me, I'm thinking club. Right? I'm thinking I'm going to the club.
You're hearkening back to your club girl days.
Girl, 6-inch heels.
Getting something sequined out of the closet, maybe?
And I'm so glad that I didn't do anything that I would have done in LA. I literally put on what I planned to wear for Thanksgiving meal with my family, which was considered dressed up out here.
Oh,
it was
my gosh.
Totally considered dressed up out here.
Wait, what was it? A sweater?
So
a brown
sweater? Like a, no, it was a sweater dress, so it was fitted, mm-hmm. shows my figure. Mm-hmm. And then it had, because it was sleeveless, it had one of those, like a crop long sleeve sweater, though. So the sweater just kind of came down to the middle of my back, didn't come down at all on the sides. It literally went up under my arms. But it was very cute. And I put it on with some flat boots, like boots up to my knee. It was very cute. Okay. And I put on leggings.
Sweater doesn't scream
cold.
Club attire.
At girl, I would never in LA. I would have never.
Oh, let me get my sweater. It's time to go to the club.
I would never. And flat boots. My boots were flat. Like, but guess what? I was still pretty much overdressed.
Yeah. Huh.
So this is not it. But yeah, I have to make up reasons to go places. I have to give my own places, create my own reasons to get dressed up here. That being said, I want us to. Are you ready to go into our recipes?
No.
You're
sad
not?
To see it end. No. Repeat to me just the life focus question one more time, just in case we missed anything.
Okay. So the life focus for today is understanding that self-love isn't conditional on perfection. Like we're both talking about neither of us being perfect, but loving ourselves, or in the process of learning to love ourselves exactly where we are and for where we're going, which is beautiful. Then recognizing your body as a home, not a project, and celebrating what your body has carried you through.
Oh, wow. Okay. Our life focus questions get longer every single episode.
Yeah. I added a lot too, though. I added, you know, I was giving my own commentary in the middle there, but. Okay.
You were ad-libbing on the already 5-point question. Okay. So just one more thing. I talk all the time about integrity and the definition of integrity.
Okay.
So when your actions match your values, you experience a sense of wholeness. Whereas that cognitive dissonance I was telling you about, that discomfort, is when there's a mismatch between your attitudes and your behaviors and you're feeling uncomfortable. So the first step when it comes to living with integrity is to define what are your values. So when you're saying to live with self-love, for me, that translates to I have to choose values that are things I can actually control. So I can control how much I show up for myself as far as walking around the lake. I can control how I eat in the sense of, not in the sense of being restrictive, because it's not my value to be restrictive. That's just a really strong boundary for me. I will not ever put myself in a position where I'm withholding something from myself, because I have the type of personality that if I'm withholding it, now I just want it 10 times more. I just know myself. I know I want what I can't have. So I can't tell my, like, I have that thing from childhood where if somebody tells me you can't have it, now I'm obsessed with it. I need it. So I can't talk to myself like an adult to a child, because then that inner child will rebel. So for me, that's not successful to deprive, to withhold. So I want to live in abundance. I want to live a life where I help other people. I want to live a life where I'm spreading joy and I'm just going throughout the world, just peppering it with joy. And then also, my value was never superficial beauty. There's nothing I can do really about the way I look. I mean, I could try to come up with a big bank of cash and alter the way I look surgically, but I'm not really a surgical person. So it's kind of like I got to work with what God gave me here. But the thing is that when I'm looking out at the world, one of my top five values is confidence. And so when I see a woman, regardless of size, like something you were saying earlier that was hitting me is, why is there a threshold for beauty? Like, why are there conditions that you have to have this amount of this thing in order to tip over into beautiful? The most beautiful people are the people who love themselves. And you're always saying the sexiest thing a woman can wear is confidence.
Yes.
Almost no women I know have confidence. Why really? Is that? That's a huge problem for me. I know, but you're coming from Black culture. So all the women that you know have confidence. Let's just, it's just a different thing, which is why I think I'm so in awe of you, because you're already at the place I want to be, where, yeah, you have a certain things where you're like, maybe I'm unkind to myself in these small ways. But if we sort of zoom out to who has confidence, Ms. Bettina McCadney has confidence in spades. You're the one curtsying in front of the mirror saying, you better go, girl. Like, you have taken society's thought that you can't be in the double digit sizes, and you have thrown that right in the garbage. And you're like, I'm beautiful at all sizes. So that's what I find to be beautiful, is I find you to be a stigma crushing crusader. And that's what I want to be, but just in my own realm.
In your way.
Yes, in my way. That's what I want to be, because that's what I'm drawn to. And I believe that what I'm drawn to is a hint at what my values might be, because I'm still discovering my values. But when I'm looking at a woman who's basically giving zero Fs, and I do consider that to kind of be part of the spiritual axiom as well, is just not to be tethered by opinions of others or whatever, to just be free, just a free-spirited person. I'm not going to be burdened by some totally arbitrary measure of beauty that changes over time anyway. Like, it used to be good to be fat because it means you're rich and you can eat more.
Yeah, in certain cultures it's still.
Yeah, so I think that, A, you are a role model to me in terms of just saying I'm fly and that's that, and I decided that, and then that's the objective.
Love it or hate it.
I'm living according to what I think is beautiful, and that makes me beautiful, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says.
And that's the thing. Self-esteem is built up by the things you do behind the scenes. And so what I feel like I'm doing, I'm resetting. I know that you can't literally reset homeostasis in your body, but I feel like you can do it figuratively, right? I can figure out how to support and restore what homeostasis is for me. That's whatever my weight set point has been. I want to reset that set point going forward and still love what I see. I want to reset that set point and still have the confidence that I need to feel fly when I step out of the door, or to be able to curtsy in front of the mirror. And it's because I like even more, because now what I'm seeing in the mirror lines up even more with the value, because now I've instituted balance, or a little bit more balance. Make sense?
Yeah, the value is balance. The value is integrity. The value is self-love.
Yeah, and hydration and moisturization.
And I love that we're just also giving ourselves that leeway, where it's not that we're saying, well, you have to go back down to this size in order to be okay. It's actually about saying you can even go up a size and it'll still be okay.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like you're on your way. You might go up a size, and I'm definitely where I am in my life right now is not being in the middle. I feel like for much of my life, I've been close, but no cigar. Close, to $1 million, but not making it close, but no cigar, you know, and where I want to be is at that place for me. I want to do it for me. Like, gosh, when I look at I'm in this place now where I've had to upload or back up my photos to Google. And so Google is constantly creating these collages. So I'm getting pictures from 2013, 2012, like all these years ago. And I'm like, oh my gosh, look at my smile. Look at my hair. Look at my skin. Look at my chin. And now, while I had my own Bettina levels of confidence then, but I wasn't celebrating myself to the degree that I'm able to look back and celebrate myself in those photos. I can also look at some of the photos and say, ooh, you were going through something at that time, you know? Mm. And so it's just interesting to be able to honor wherever you are. That's where I want to be. I want to honor wherever I am. I want to give myself the gift of doing my best at whatever it is. And that doesn't feel like a to-do list. That feels like my level of turning acceptance. The power, like turning, if I put the tripartite being in a cup and at the bottom of the cup right now is my spirit man. And at the top of the cup is my body running everything. I want to be able to turn that cup on its head and have my spirit man making the choices, because that's the part of me that I want to be in control in this season. That is what resetting the homeostasis for me will be. It'll be being able to say, this is what I want to do. And because that's what I want to do, this is the best for me. And that's what I'm going to do. Not, what is it? Swing and a miss, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be there, but I want to be there because I said that's what I want to do, not because I'm trying to meet what someone else's standard is. I want to appreciate where I am, be comfortable in my skin, and have that confidence come from a concrete place, because you did that, girl.
So it's interesting that you should mention those Google collage, because sometimes you send me the pictures of yourself and you say, oh, in this year, see what was going on here with my jawline or my hair or my skin or my whatever. Mm-hmm. And in every single picture, I'm like, looks the same, looks the same, looks the same. And that's because to me, the thing that is so beautiful is your Bettina-ness. It doesn't have to do with some light like modification to something or some slight shift in your jawline. It's like, you are beautiful because you are Bettina. So the idea of, oh, well, there's this stipulation on this particular angle of this particular thing, all that does is dim your spirit, which makes you less beautiful. So I want to encourage just set the standard at where you are now. That's the one thing I've never seen you do.
I love that. I love that.
You look exactly the same to me in all those other pictures. And it's the same thing with any other person who shows me the pictures. My one friend will show me some picture of her from, you know, 20 years ago where she's incredibly fit. And I'm like, okay, you still look like you. The thing that is the thread is the you-ness. How are you doing? You know, so...
Okay, so really quick, let me tell you what you just did. You just, back when I said earlier, times when you caught yourself being crueler to yourself than you'd ever be to a friend, one thing I've noticed about myself, and you just confirmed it, is when I look at my friends, I don't look at them from a critical place. Did I ever tell you about my friend that said years ago, she was like, well, I got a cock eye. We had been friends for like 10 years, and I never noticed that the girl had a cock eye, right? Like,
I have the same friend who has that too, and I never noticed it until she said it for 20 years.
That's what I'm saying. So we don't look at them through the lens of criticism, but we have to show that same kindness and love for ourselves of not looking at ourselves through the lens of criticism. And you just gave me that. And now you gave me language to go with it. I'm fine because I'm Bettina.
Yes.
I like it.
Who else is rocking that Bettina look? Nobody. Nobody.
So let's get into these recipes. Today's recipe is a body gratitude bowl. I love that. Food that honors what your body needs. Doesn't that fit with what you said?
I eat like that often, actually.
That's good. Well,
you got to go first, though, because you're hitting me with this out of nowhere.
Okay. So it's cold here in the Midwest. And so what my body needs is heat. And so what we're doing here today is a loaded broccoli cheddar potato soup. So it starts with, of course, the only meat I'm using is some chopped up bacon slices, cooking them in a pan. And then after I remove them, put some chopped onion down in the pot. I am also just sauteing that a little bit. I am adding to that my chopped up, you can use Yukon Gold potatoes, you can use russet potatoes. I go both ways with this recipe, but it's delicious. Put my potatoes, add some chopped carrots. I like green, so I add some green onion, and I put some, you know, the water's in chicken bouillon. You know that, right? Did you know that chicken bouillon was going to be in the recipe?
Oh, I do.
So
omnipresent in your recipes.
Chicken bouillon in the water. Mix that up. I put some garlic down in there and let that boil till the potatoes and the carrots are tender. While that's happening on the side, I'm making a little bit of a cheesy roux for my soup. So I put in the bottom of the pan, I put a little bit of butter, I put a little bit of all-purpose flour, and I add some milk to kind of get the beginnings of my roux going. And as that thickens, I add bunches and bunches of Tillamook shredded cheese. I add some milk. I season the cheesy roux. The only thing I've added, because the potatoes are cooking in the chicken bouillon, you don't have to add any seasoning to the potatoes, but I do add salt, pepper, and smoked paprika to my cheesy roux. And I pour that over the cooked potatoes. I add some more cheese. You plate that up. You add the broccoli. You add some broccoli into the, because you know the broccoli only takes 5 minutes. I use frozen broccoli. I've used fresh broccoli. You can go either way. Adjust your cook times based on whether you're using fresh or frozen. And yeah, you plate that up with, of course, the Bettina McCartney homemade garlic rusty seasoned sourdough bread. What?
Which you could never go without.
I can't. And you,
which is why we all need to reset our weight set points for any Bettina cooking.
All of mine, you have to. And you just have some bacon sprinkled over the top of your bowl. And this is a lovely, lovely, heartwarming dish. And yeah, that's what I got. My loaded broccoli potato cheddar soup.
Love it. Okay, so I'm just going to make this up in the moment because it's something that I'm planning on doing later this week, and I'm just not completely sure how I'm going to do it yet.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm just flying by seat of my pants with this dinner recipe, like this weekly dinner thing. I can only really do what I'm in the mood for because my body's really driving here. So I can't say, oh, on Wednesday I want pasta, because then I might get there and not even want that anymore. So this one, I've had it on the menu for a couple weeks, but because it's winter, my body hasn't really, or it's fall, but my body hasn't really been saying, hey, how about a bowl? But I need to do a bowl because I sent Herschel to the grocery store and he came home with two cucumbers instead of one, and I can't even handle one cucumber. It's just really hard for me for some reason to manage cucumbers. Yeah, because my kids don't like them, so it's hard to figure out what to do with a cucumber. I just don't feel naturally drawn to it.
Mediterranean salad is the best thing ever.
Well, that's where I'm going with this. So I'm going to do at some point some type of Greek bowl. That's what's on the menu. I will figure it out as I go to put in the show notes, because hopefully I will have cooked it by then. But it's basically going to have some chickpeas. It's going to have some tomatoes. It's going to have some red onions, some cucumbers. It may or may not have rice. And I think what I'm going to do, there's going to be a sauce. And this is what I'm up in the air about, because I can definitely see some type of tahini sauce could be amazing. Something with hummus, maybe just a slightly watered down hummus. Do hummus with a little bit of lemon and kind of mix that up so it's a little bit thinner and put that in there. We might also want feta. I'm not a huge feta person, so I might do something.
I love feta.
Yeah, I'm not obsessed with it.
Really?
So anyway, I might do a garlic yogurt sauce with dill. I'll keep you posted, but it's going to be basically that. It's just going to have a bunch of different vegetables, and it will also have olives because I love olives, and that's what I'm going to do. And there is going to be some type of flatbread on the side, and then that salad will of course be piled onto a piece of bread. I could never do just a bowl of veggies. That's the definition of deprivation.
I found something that I'm playing with that I can't wait to share with you. I'm playing with making my own tzatziki sauce. I bought some.
Amazing.
But
that's
I'm playing
what this
with
really
making
needs.
My own.
That's what this needs.
Well, this has been yet another amazing episode of What's the Temp podcast. I hope you guys enjoy this as much as I do, because I love it.
I love it so much.
Okay, well, be great on purpose.
Have a great 24. Peace. Mama